You know, God says, give. Uncle Sam says, take. Take and it shall be taken from you. Give and it shall be given. Which one do you want? Uncle Sam says, I'm getting it. I don't care what you do, I'm getting it. Somebody say, he always gets more than his share. Yeah, you believe it? Oh, glory to God. Man, I got so much stuff tonight here. I'm just like, I was doing some podcasts and working on some things. And, you know, I was just thinking about maybe going 10, 15 minutes. I looked down, it's like 30. And then today I was like 45, and I was like, good day, man. I said, we're going to slice this thing here and cut it up or something, you know, in segments. But I want to share some of this with you tonight. We're going to talk about the shaking. Everybody say the shaking. And let's turn to the book of Habakkuk. And, you know, it's just like I had to go, this week gets kind of funny. I called this guy, I said, I needed some tires, and I'm always called him Hancock. He called him Hankook. I'm like, what? You heard a Hankook set? And I said, yeah, I guess I have. I said, I know some kooks. I have the same kook family. But anyhow, so we're turning to Habakkuk. Somebody say Habakkuk. Habakkuk. Chapter 2. And then we're going to turn to Haggai chapter 2. And then we're going to end up in the book of Hebrews. How's that sound? Verse 2, write the vision and make it plain upon tablets that he may run that readeth it. Write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Goes to Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, everybody say without a vision, the people perish. An open revelation of God. And I'm a firm believer that probably most people remain religious because they have no open revelation of God. And we have to have a revelation of him. The Apostle Paul in Ephesians, I think that's one of the reasons that he prayed for the church, that we would receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that our eyes of understanding would be enlightened. And so Habakkuk, write the vision, make it plain upon tablets, that he may run that readeth it, that he may run that readeth it. And then Haggai chapter number 2, starting to read at verse number 6. Yet once more, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, will come, will come. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for your word. And Holy Spirit, we just ask you to come, breathe upon our minds tonight. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. Father, I pray that God, that you will allow us to see, Father God, into the future. Lord God, the times that we're living in right now. Lord, we just thank you that the Spirit of Jesus is the Spirit of prophecy. And Father, we are to be a prophetic generation, Father God, one that has understanding and discernment, Father of the times. And we ask you now in Jesus' name to come, give faith in our hearts, Lord, and most of all, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto the church. And everybody said amen. Amen. Now I want you to turn to one more scripture in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 1. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. I begin to think about that verse, and, you know, God began to stir me about the shaking because, you know, we're living, you know, in a time where people are perplexed and they're fearful and they see all the things that are going on in the world, and so they're futures are uncertain as far as the world goes. And you think about what Isaiah says in chapter number 60. Darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. And so we're going to see a time of darkness, and the scripture says gross darkness will come upon the people. That means that there will be, I would call it a stupor of spirit, a spirit to the point that people are groping in the darkness. They're looking for a way out. They're trying to find the door, and they can't find it. But, and that's the word that we got to look at that he has, and he said, but. And so when he's speaking this word, he's really talking about the world. And I want to correlate this back to what Haggai is saying here and about what Habakkuk is saying, is that when he points back, he said, but the Lord will rise upon you and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. And so we understand that in the midst of the darkness that's coming, in the gross darkness, that God has not called me to be perplexed. He's not called me to be fearful. He's not called me to be afraid. He's not called me to, again, get a can of beanie weenies and go hide out in a cave somewhere. He's not called me to tuck my tail and run, or to phone in fear to things that are coming in the world, or, you know, and I think by and large that that comes from listening to all the prognostication that's out in the world, because to me, every newscaster is a prognosticator. They're foretelling the times, and it's like our president said, we're going to have a deep, dark winter, you know, one of death and all this stuff, and I'm like, speak for yourself. I'm having one of light and life and health and healing in Jesus' name, amen. But those are prophetic words. I want you to understand, those are words that bring darkness into the world, especially when a national leader and leaders get up and prophesy over a nation. You see, it's very important to understand that that releases demonic powers, and it brings things and it releases things that we have no idea, you know, of really what is going on. And so here we are, you know, in the world, and it's a shaking taking place. And so everything has been shaken that can be shaken. The great thing about it is that the Bible says that we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. And so what I'm looking for, I'm unshakable. Somebody say, I am unshakable. Praise God. Man, when I start reading all this stuff, I get excited because I'm like, man, this is our greatest time to be alive, because we are powerful people in Jesus. We've got the imperishable seed of the Word of God on the inside of us. We have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are anointed. We got the name of Jesus. We're covered by the blood. We have the Word of God. Man, we are the saints of God. We are the church that hell's gates cannot prevail against. And I'm like, man, it's my time to thrive and be alive. Praise God. It's not my time to die and go hide out and crawl in the cave and say, oh, my God, what am I going to do? And see, throughout the Word of God, God tells us things like, be not afraid, fear not, be not dismayed. For I, the Lord thy God, am with you. He says, I'm going to be with you always, even until the end of the age. All of these things. And so the shaking is coming from God. He's shaking stuff up. He's shaking things up. And I believe that one of the reasons for that is because he wants the saints to be brought to the prayer closet. He wants us to be brought to the place that we are absolutely dependent upon him, and know that our El Shaddai is where we draw all our substance and all our strength and everything that we need for life. Praise God. Amen. I need that. And I think that the shaking is designed. Amen. I think it's going to shake out the goats, and I think it's going to show the sheep, and I think it's going to show people that are hanging out in the world, and the true church is going to rise out of the midst of that. Because when you begin to read this, especially in Haggai, when he talks about the shaking, the key is in verse 7 when he says, and I will shake all nations. Everybody say all nations. All nations. That means America's going to get shaken. America's going to get shaken. And what did he say? And the desire of all nations shall come. So this word desire is the key word. It comes from the Hebrew word. It means the delight of all nations. It means the beloved of all nations, the precious of all nations. And there's not but one person that's called that. That's Jesus. Jesus is the desire of all nations. He's what we long for. He's what the nations long for. He's the one that we desire, because it's like I was speaking to someone today, and I said, you know, I was telling them, I said, look, I said, he says, what are we going to do? You know, he said, you're the preacher. You're supposed to know. I said, look, I said, I'm going to tell you. I said, he is the one that the government rests on his shoulders. I said, and he is going to come and set things straight. And they didn't want to really want to hear the other way that I was going to go, because they're going to say, but we the church, somebody say, we the church, the born again ones, praise God, are going to rise up in this earth, and the world is going to see that glorious light that we are and the glory that we are, and they're going to see the Christ that is in us, and that's what's really going to bring on the move of God that's in the world, that we're going to see in the world. So the shaking here, when you talk about the shaking, everything that can be shaken. So what's your faith founded on? What are you believing? Where are you at in your faith with your walk with God? Is Jesus everything? Are you straddling the fence? You know, are you one of those people that, you know, that's stingy with God, and, you know, stingy in your prayer life, stingy in your walk, stingy in everything that you do for Jesus? Are you one of those extravagant people that's really to be broken and spilled out for him? You know, because the fence straddlers and the worldly and the carnal are getting ready to be revealed in a big way. Amen. I was looking back through history and just doing some study. God was stirring my heart, and went back to the Reformation period, you know, with John Wycliffe and John Huss and Martin Luther, with all of those guys, Zwingli, all these people. You know, during the Reformation period, and a lot of them were burned at the stake, and some of, a lot of the Anabaptists were drowned and put to death because of the faith of Jesus Christ, and really because the devil didn't want the Word of God in the hands of common people like you and me. Amen. And so vehemently, you know, these reformers stood against the Roman Catholic Church, because the Roman Catholic Church was telling people, you know, well, if you give so much money, you can be saved and your family can be saved. And there was a lot of immorality and a lot of corruption that existed, you know, within all of that movement. And the thing about it, if it hadn't been for God breathing on some people, you talk about the dark ages and gross darkness upon people, because when we look back in history, we look for parallels. What was it like before Reformation began to really take hold and great awakenings begin to come? Because when we look back at that, we can see trends and parallels that are much like the day that we're living in right now. Because, you know, we look at those great awakenings were spawned out of those things because they were inspired by those people. Praise God. And I read them and I'm inspired. I'm inspired that John Wycliffe could sit down and handwrite a Bible in English and give it to the people. I'm inspired, you know, when John Huss is willing to take the 95 Theses and nail them to the doors of the church in Wittenberg. I'm inspired when these Anabaptists are willing to stand and allow themselves to be drowned and their families and you know, people be burned at the stake. They wouldn't bend and wouldn't bow to the powers that be. You understand where I'm coming from tonight? So when I look at that, I have to say, man, I'm not being drowned, and I'm not being burned, and I'm not being stoned, and I'm in a church of air conditioning and heat, and these people paid the price and they gave their life. And I go back and read the heroes of faith in chapter 11 of Hebrews, and I see all the stuff. I go back through the old covenant and walk myself through this, and I look at all the persecution, the turmoil, the trouble, the perplexities, and the governments and the powers that be. And I look and see Israel going into captivity, and you know, the dispersion, when all the people were just dispersed out. And the families, you know, the moms were separated from the children, and the children from the parents, and the mother went one way, the father went the other, and they just sent them in all different directions. And then I see a person like Daniel, who's willing to, you know, who rises up. He's just a young teenager, and he's the guy that they say, you can't pray, and he says, I'm going to anyway. He's the guy that they say, well, if you get and pray in the name of your God, then we're going to feed you to the lions. And what does he say? I'm going to pray anyway. If it hadn't been for people like that, we wouldn't have what we have. They've always been. There's always been a Moses. There's always been a Joshua. There's always been an Elijah. There's always, see, God always has people that he raises up at in particular times. And so when we look at today and we see God shaking things, because the shaking has always been, he's talking about it right here. He's talking about shaking people, shaking things.
And so one of the things I hear out of one camp is, I just don't know whether I can take any more of this or not. I mean, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, where's God at, et cetera, et cetera. And then you got another group of people says, man, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cast out devils. I'm going to speak in tongues. I'm going to lay hands on sick people and see them recover. I'm going to preach this gospel, and I believe that God is going to show up. And so what we see the shaking doing is, you know, dividing some things. Have you ever seen a spirit of division like today? Huh? It's like I heard a man prophesy years ago, the weak will get weaker, the strong will get stronger, and only the strong shall survive. See, you're going to have to make up your mind in the days to come, because some of us probably, you know, may question God. Why is this happening? Why is this happening? I mean, because I don't know about you, but I ask God questions all the time. I'm like, you know, why? What did Perry Stone say the statistic was of how many pastors died? $450 in the Church of God, $400 in the state of Michigan, and some, yeah, a lot of pastors just retiring and quitting because they can't take the pressure of the times. Exactly. And so there's a shortage on preachers, pastors, apostolic ministry, people that have just given up, going into retirement. But I always tell people, you know, when I got called into the ministry, I always know that retirement's not an option. That's a worldly thing. It's not God thing. You cannot retire from the call. Once called, always called. Once a Marine, always a Marine. So I say amen. Once called, always called. Hey, that's right, not an ex-Marine. You're not an ex-Christian. When you became born again, you stay born again. Somebody say amen. But we got a lot of ex-Christians running around. Uh-huh. And so with the shaking, with everything that's going on right now, I mean, you know, it's just like people will question, you know, we've had death in our county. We've had pastors and their wives to pass away, pastors' wives to die, other pastors to die, all the different things that are out there. That should drive us to the place. This morning I was dreaming, and I had a dream right before. I usually dream right before I get up. And I remember I was in a dream, and the Lord came to me, and he says, prayer. Prayer moves things. And I woke up. He said, I'm calling my people to prayer. He said, because prayer moves things. Man, when he spoke it, I woke up just like, God, I can't wait to go get on my knees and pray, praise God. Rolled out of bed, went down and got on my knees. I was just thinking about that scripture, because the day before was a different dream. I dreamed about Oscar Mayorga. I said, I dreamed about his toes. I had to call him and say, Oscar. I said, I had a dream about you, something about your toes. Oh, my Dave, you know. And so we won't even talk about the fungus. We'll just go ahead and talk about the dream this morning. This morning when the Lord woke me up, he said, talking about prayer. Because I believe the shaking is pushing the church into the prayer closet, because God is depending upon us. Listen, the angels aren't going to come and fight our battle for us, because number one, we got to ask them to get involved to begin with. They hearken to the voice of the Lord as we speak the scriptures, amen? It's not that we're commanding angels to do anything, but they hearken to the voice of God. So when I get on my knees and I start praying what God said, like Daniel did in the midst of Babylon, come on somebody, in the midst where there's full of heathens and there's false gods everywhere and there's idols and statues and all the junk that's going on with this demonic mess that's in Babylon, Daniel is there praying to Yahweh, the one true God. He's there praying, and it strikes to the core of the heart of hell, and it stirs up the devils. Come on, somebody. And I tell people, I said, look, if we're not stirring up evil, if we're not stirring up the devil, you know, because it's the quality of our enemies that tells the quality of who we are. If we don't have some really nasty enemies in our lives, then we're not doing much to stir up the bowels of hell. And see, your prayers should stir up something. That's what I'm telling you. You should have such fervency in prayer, because the scripture tells us to be fervent in spirit. And it drives me up the wall to come, and then people are praying and they're like, I've never been that way. I'm a chair thrower, a wall kicker, you know, hail raiser. And I don't mean like R-A-I. I'm talking about the R-A-Z-E-R, you know. It's a little bit different. It means like pull down the darkness. And so it's like, I'm like, I don't believe Jesus is a quiet prayer man. I don't believe that. I don't believe the apostles were. I'm sorry, I don't. I don't believe that upper room prayer meeting was silent. I don't believe when Peter was in prison, it was silence. And I don't believe in saying, oh, Jesus. I believe we were screaming and yelling and breathing and, you know, stomping and all the different stuff like that. Somebody said, well, I just don't believe that. Well, I do believe that. Jesus lifted up his voice. He spoke loudly. The Greek tells you that. And so when I'm looking at, like, here Daniel is, he's in the middle of all that Babylon stuff, and he's the guy that's just a teenage kid that comes in and sends a ripple all the way through the kingdom and causes those kings to pass laws that are favorable to his faith and his God. If anybody speaks a word against Daniel's God, we're going to kill him. Now, that's a pretty drastic statement for a heathen king to make. Somebody say amen. And see, what I'm telling you tonight is our God's greater than Joe Biden. Our God is greater than Kamala Harris. Our God is greater than Nancy Pelosi. Our God is greater than any rhino out there or anybody else that's in government. Forget that. I'm talking about like China. I'm talking about Afghanistan. I'm talking about in the nations of the earth. Our God is greater, because if we will pray like Daniel prayed and have faith like Daniel had, guess what's going to happen? God is going to move and shift things in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, when you look back through history and you look at this new covenant and you look through the book of Acts and you see the pressure that the world tried to put up on the church to stop it, Jesus just said, it ain't going to happen, because the gates of hell shall not prevail against what I'm building. Amen. I'm built by him. You're built by him. Somebody say, I've been built right. I'm made right. He's in me. He's alive right now, praise God. And he's just looking to tear down some darkness, and he's looking to bring light where the darkness is. And so, when we look back and we see this, because number one, I understand Daniel was one man in the midst of an entire kingdom. He had those three Hebrew friends, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego is what we call them, but they had different names. Those were demonic names, actually. And so there they were. And they stood their ground, and God supernaturally shows up for them. Somebody say, yes, he did. Amen. And so here Daniel is. He's there. He's studying the book of Jeremiah, and he reads where the captivity is going to be 70 years, and guess what he does? He gets up and begins to declare it. 21 days of prayer and fasting. He's sitting there. He's declaring what God says, and the angel Michael shows up and says, hey, from the first day that you prayed, we heard you. I heard you, but the Greece of Persia hindered me from coming. Man, there was a tremendous battle that was taking on in the second heaven. I mean, it was going on. You understand what he's telling us? And so, but he didn't give up, did he? Somebody say, he did not give up. He did not give up, and he got the breakthrough. Praise God. That is so important for us, because number one, when I see the times in which we live, then I want to be able to do what Daniel did, because if I'm going to be a son of Issachar, I'm going to have understanding of the times, and I'm going to have to say, okay, God, the world is saying this. This is what the world is prophesying, and there's a lot of voices that are saying lots of different things. Your child Daniel, Lord, was there in Babylon, and he got in and found where it was written in the Word, and he got up, Lord, and got out of that captivity by declaring what you said. And so I'm moving to that book of Hebrews in chapter number 2, and this is what it says. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Wow. That word slip is a Greek word that means like flowing water that's leaking out of you. He says it's the word, when God speaks it, he said it comes through your mind and you let it go through there carelessly instead of realizing that I live by every word that God speaks. When God speaks, I'm not to let that word go carelessly through my mind or through my soul. I'm to reach out and lay hold of it, because he's telling me, he said, lest at any time you should let them slip. I've got to take hold of that word, because that word is going to be the thing that gets me out of my trouble and rescues me from the perplexities that exist in the world that we're living in. So I want you to go look at the scripture there in chapter number 2 of the book of Hebrews, where he says, therefore we are We ought to give the more earnest heed, lest at any time, to the things that we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. So we are never to let those words carelessly run through our mind. Amen? See, if you get COVID, you need a healing word. Amen. Not a doctor's word. Sure, the doctor's going to tell you. If you haven't had your vaccine, they don't want to mess with you. I'm trying to tell you something tonight, because there's darkness coming upon the world, gross darkness upon the people, and that gross darkness means that people are going to have a stupor's attitude, and they're going to be listening to what the world says instead of what God says. Gross darkness on the people. Gross darkness on the people. See, if you're a child of God, you don't have darkness in you. You've got light. You're the light of the world. Jesus put you here for right now to thrive and be alive and to show his glory and power in the world. And I'll show you this in a minute in chapter number 4. It's important right now that I understand. Devil, you cannot come. Darkness, you cannot come. You cannot have your way as long as I'm here. Even if I'm the only Christian on the face of the planet, you cannot come and have your way as long as I'm a voice right here. Can you prove it? Yeah, with Daniel. He's the only guy that's listed out of the whole bunch that's there except for those three Hebrew boys. He's the main voice, the main character amongst millions of other people that are existing. But that one person, somebody say one person. And see that? Daniel wasn't even born again. He didn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He didn't have a Bible in his hand. He didn't go to church every Sunday. He was just a guy that had a relationship with Jehovah that understood I'm a covenant man, and if I stay with him and if I walk in his word and I do what his commandments say, then heaven and earth will have to move because my God is with me, and things will have to change if I say what God said. See, the religious mind stops right there and say, hey man, that's not wise rhetoric. Amen. Because somebody's always going to get up and say, well, you know, now we got to use wisdom. Well, that you're talking about worldly wisdom. I'm talking about godly wisdom. See, worldly wisdom always stops short where the miracle's getting ready to show up. Worldly wisdom always says, well, I'm going to tell you right now, you better seek the advice of an attorney. You better seek the advice of a counselor. You better seek the advice. Well, you might as well just say this. The church has got to learn right here. We're not a referral center. We are a deliverance house. We don't refer people to this and that. See, that's one of the things that disturbs me. I was telling someone before service, I said, it's almost like for the last several years, you know, with me, it's almost like God has just been silent. And then all of a sudden, God's beginning to stir me and move me inside about these particular things, because he's telling me, he said, I'm getting ready to move. And he said, one of the things that's got to happen first is people have got to grow up. And I can guarantee you that Daniel wasn't sitting in a fence because his family got divided and he was there in Babylon by himself under the control of a foreign government instead of Yahweh. He didn't get angry at God. He didn't get angry about the situation, and he didn't have a nervous breakdown and go crawl in a hole somewhere because mom and dad were split from him. And we don't even know about the rest of the seed that was there, maybe brothers and sisters or whatever. We don't even read any of that stuff that's there. We have no idea, but I'm sure he had other friends. And the three Hebrew boys, you know, I'm sure that they probably bumped into each other and they had some kind of relationship or things that there, because it's written in the book of Daniel. But the thing about it is that Daniel said, hey, I am here for this reason. For such a time as this have I come into the kingdom. I was born for this day. I am the man that God put here that said, Babylon, you're about ready to experience a division in you. Come on, because I'm going to cancel you. You're not going to cancel me. I'm going to bring light in the midst of the darkness of this kingdom, and you're going to find out that my God is the one true God who can do anything. He's the creator and the maker of all things. And see, that's the attitude that we need to have right now. Because in the midst of the shaking, I'm still standing on firm foundation, because the rock cannot be moved, and his name is Jesus. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise God, man. I mean, I'm like, man, we need to wake up as the body of Christ. Man, I tell you what, man, when I look back and I see what this thing did at the beginning of it, and see all the confusion and the corruption and the mess and the what happened in people, the spirit moved in them, because I'm like, man, we have no understanding at all that God has made the church, the body of Christ, to be a mighty and a powerful entity in the earth that takes the devil and shakes him until he can't be shaken anymore. Amen. Because when you see the flood, and you see Sodom and Gomorrah, and you see other things that have happened, what did God do? He took and shook that until the wicked were taken out of the way, and he brought the righteousness up to a level that they'd never been before. Can I tell you that we're about to see a shakedown in America? It's going to be quite different from what people think it is, and I think the first thing that's going to happen, listen, judgment must first begin at the house of God. And so God's going to show up in the church, and he's going to bring judgment. And he's going to start dealing with people, and he's going to say, I want you to come out of that darkness. I want you to come out of your witchcraft. I want you to come out of your fornication. I want you to come out of your adultery. I want you to come out of your porn. I want you to come out of the filth of the flesh. And I want you to come out of Babylon, and I want you to get yourself straight, because number one, I'm tired of dating a whore. I want to date a virgin. He's really getting ready to shake some things up. Why? Because when that glory comes, I said when the kabod shows up, when the glory of God comes, when the glory comes, when the glory comes, when the glory comes, when the glory comes, when the fire cloud shows up, when God shows up in fire, when he comes in power, when he comes in authority, I really truly believe that some people are going to cease to exist. Amen. You know, I say, I don't believe this thing. If God don't do this, you'll have to repent to Sodom and Gomorrah. No, I don't believe that. See, God is telling us, see, that's the reason he comes in the book of Ephesians and he says to us, he said, look, I've given you the fivefold ministry to perfect you, to mature you. And it's almost like it's been like over the past 30 years, especially with that apostolic ministry rising up with the fivefold ministry. I watched my own denomination only become awakened to this like just like 10 years ago. And I'm like, where have you been? And I'm like, you know, because one of the things with me is I'm always like, I feel like I've been like somewhere way out in front, because we had taught all this stuff back in the 1980s. And I feel like I had to go all the way back and I'm having to teach it all again. But then the Lord just says to me, says, well, right now is when you really need it. He said, but you got some people that know this stuff because they've heard it. He said, but I'm going to tell you, you ought to tell them to give the more earnest heed to the things that they have heard, lest at any time they should let them run out like trickling water. Oh, that's not that important. Listen, how in the world is God going to use us as something big when we can't even get the little stuff straight? Amen. How is he going to give us a greater responsibility when we can't even take care of the responsibility that we have? See, we cry that we want a move of God, but we're not willing to die. And you got people that sit around in offenses. You know, I've got an offense over this, an offense over that, and somebody said this and something said that. I mean, hey, what would it be like if you were speaking Chinese next month? That could be real. Amen. I mean, some people are real nervous about things right now. I'm like this. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because I'm going to be a Christian either way. It's like Daniel woke up one day, he was in Babylon. Mom and dad were gone and all of his friends, everything was divided. And you know what? Nobody in that nation thought that that was going to happen. Even though the prophet said it and 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 said it. Yeah, I mean, prophets say good things, prophets say bad things, you know, but I tell people, so prophets speak nationally, they speak internationally, they speak locally, and they speak personally. And we have to have the common sense and the wisdom from God's word to understand that when a prophet speaks, is he talking locally? Is he talking nationally? Is he talking internationally? Or what is he talking regionally? What is he saying? And is he saying in 3 days? Is he saying in a year? Is he saying in 6 months? Is he saying tomorrow about this time? You know, what is he saying prophetically? Well, number one, I believe that God has already spoken prophetically to us in the respect that he's saying, look, I'm going to shake everything that can be shaken. And I think it's amazing that the Apostle Paul quotes Habakkuk, in his writings in the book of Hebrews, and he said, yet once again, I shake not only the heavens but also the earth and the sea and the dry land and everything that can be shaken, you know, shall be shaken. Said, only those things which cannot be shaken shall be removed. Listen, everything wicked is movable. Oh, you got to hear it. Let him that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the church. Everything wicked is movable. Only the Word of God is immovable, unchanging, unalterable. It is the imperishable seed. And so He has given us, through His divine power, all that we need. He's given us, you know, through His divine nature, His abilities and the anointing to accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished in the world in which we live. And I'm going to tell you what, we got a lot to do. Somebody say we got a lot to do. We got a lot to do. I want to go over here to chapter number 4. I want to read this to you in the book of Hebrews. Let's go there real quick, because I'm already out of time, but I think we need to go here and tie this thing together before I close out. Hebrews chapter number 4. All right, let's start with chapter number 3. I think it's right. Yes. Okay. And you have to understand it before this, and we'll come back next week and look at this. He talks about the preeminence of Christ. He talks about Moses being faithful and Christ being faithful over His house. And then in verse 6, but Christ is a son over His own house, whose house we are. If, everybody say if. Why is that in there? What do they call that thing? A conjunction? A condition. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. Verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear His voice. All right, that first generation that went in, did they hear His voice? Did they hear it? No. They heard it, but they didn't hear it. They let it casually run through their mind. All right? Listen, all right? Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation, in the day of temptation, and as in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, provoked me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed therefore, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if, everybody say if we hold the beginning of the confidence steadfast until the end. While it is said, today if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that sinned, that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom he sware that they should not enter into His rest? So, we see that they could not enter into in because of unbelief. All right? So let's stop right there. All right, the perplexities and the problems that we're having right now are wearing and frazzling and beating down people to the point that ministers are quitting and they're stopping, and many saints are giving up because they say, I don't understand this. All right? Because they've seen so many people die. All right? Chapter 4, let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the gospel didn't prosper them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into that rest, as He said, as I have sworn in my wrath that they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. All right? Now, for this He spake in a certain place on the Sabbath day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all of His works. Now I'm going to stop right there because I could keep on reading, but I think it's important for us to see that when He goes on to talk, He's talking about this. He says, God bearing witness to you and I. to the saints of God, God bearing witness to us, witness both with signs which are tokens that are given to us, that those signs are given because he wants the people to know that we are distinguished from the others. All right? When God touches us and when God anoints us, it separates us from the world. And the world says, man, there's something different about those people. All right? Now listen, because it's talking about us having unusual occurrences and miracles in our life, signs and wonders, which authenticates the ones that belong to God. Jesus said, these signs shall follow you. And somebody said, well, why, you know, did you say that? Why are you talking about that? Because number one, this is exactly what Daniel did. This is exactly what the three Hebrew children did. And instead of the devil wearing us out, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Instead of the devil wearing us out, he's the one that needs to be walking through the dry places, seeking rest and finding none. The reason people do not enter into rest is because they fear what the enemy is doing. And I can bring it down all kinds of levels. I'm afraid I'm not going to get what God wants me to do. I'm afraid that this will happen. I'm afraid of them. Because jealousy and strife and division, all this stuff stems out of that. And the basic spirit is fear. It's fear, which is Satan's chief spirit, fear. And what did God say? He said, I was grieved at that generation because they wouldn't believe what I told them. They let that word carelessly pass through their mind instead of going in that world and say, it's just like God said, it's got the big old grapes, it's got the great produce, and there's big giants in the land. They came back, and what was their word? But they're giants. The Nephilim, they're there. The giants are there. And the two men, Caleb and Joshua, were the ones that had the right spirit, remember? They had a Daniel spirit. Because it said Caleb had another spirit with him. See, the thing about it, everybody else, those other 12 spies, the Bible said that when they released that word, they wept and wept and cried and wept. And they said, we're going to all die. Our children are going to die. God brought us out here to die. You know, all this kind of stuff. Would to God that we were back in Egypt, that we just didn't have to ever hear this or put up with this. Would to God. And God gave them exactly what they wanted. And they didn't get any rest. But Caleb and Joshua got some rest. Somebody said they got rest. See, what I'm telling you tonight is that God is telling us, he said, look, the giants are there for meat. You can have them as meat because when you eat that meat, it's going to energize you. He said, because number one, it's my promise. I promised you the land, and anything that's in the land cannot stand before you because I'm going to shake it so violently that they're going to know that my hand is on you and they're not going to mess with you. They may lock you up, put you in jail, and they have done some people like that. And they may ridicule you, but they've all been vindicated and brought back out. I'm reminded of Rodney Howard Brown down in Florida, whom they locked up. He came out and built a big old thing out there that seats more than his church ever seated, and it's packed out from the front all the way to the back, and God is working signs and wonders and paid the entire debt off in like miraculous time. He said, mess with me, devil. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, when you can't get rest, it's because you're in unbelief and fear. And God says, if you will hear what I said about you, because look, you're my seed, you're my child, you're my son, you're my daughter, you're Holy Ghost baptized, blood bought, covenant taught, and you have me inside of you. And I don't want you to go out and belittle me before the world and act like you don't know who I am. He said, I want you to get your act together and stand yourself up and put your head in the air and let the fire of God get ignited in your life and say, I am a son. Son of God, devil, you are not going to have your way, because as long as I'm here, darkness, you cannot have it all. Darkness cannot. It doesn't matter. I don't know if it's a dadgone kid 6 years old, but they're born again and full of the Holy Ghost. The devil, as big as he is and all the powers of hell, cannot come in and take over, because darkness cannot prevail against the light. Man, I got to quit. And see, we ought to give them more earnest heed, lest at any time we let it run like trickling water right out. Unless we just let it run carelessly through our mind. Well, that's not that important. I can tell you right now, Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2, 24. I mean, you know, my God. I mean, you talk about all those healing scriptures are very important right now. To know that the greater one's in me in 1 John, that is an important scripture right now. To know that God is for me and not against me is important for me to know right now. To know how this thing is going down and what's happening in the earth is so important for me to know right now. Praise God. And to know that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And listen to me. Guess what Jesus said? He said, my words are spirit and they are life. Spirit and light. What else did the psalmist say? The entrance of my word brings light. God says the more you read that word and the more your faith gets built, the brighter you're going to shine. Let's stand together so we can get out of here. Amen. Father, I thank you tonight that you're giving us circumcised ears, a circumcised eyes, and a circumcised heart. You're going to shake us down, Father God, to just a bare spirit. Father God, I thank you right now, Lord, that you're shaking us because we're going to have to become so dependent upon the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues and the gifts of the Holy Ghost and the power of God that is our survival in the days to come. Father, it is our creativity, it is our ability, it's our innovativeness, it's everything, Father God. Lord, comes out of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, and right now we just ask you, God, give us those ears to hear what you are saying, what you are saying, what you are saying, Lord Jesus. Give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear. And Father, we believe that we receive that tonight, the beginnings of it. Mature us. Help us to be willing to do whatever we have to do. God, give us the grace to do it. Give us the ability to pray fast, study. And we believe that we receive that tonight in Jesus' name. And so I say, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May he lift his countenance to you, be gracious to you. And may the God of heaven grant you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.